This conference is being recorded.
Walker Fire Protection Association, May board meeting.
Operator error.
Operator error. What? Okay, you have an agenda that was circulated and we're Chuck. Want to sign those? I did amend the old business to show for proxies under, you know, the election. From what you may have gotten, I'm not sure I sent this with the amendment for proxies. You got it yesterday or last night. And then I have a motion to approve the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda?
Do we have the dance on it? I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Future dates.
Okay, committee reports, and just do it under a committee report.
Okay,
I have a motion to approve the meeting, the agenda. John Olenessian moves, and Chuck Bauer seconds. Any other discussion about the agenda? All in favor?
Okay,
public comments. Anybody have anything to say to the board before we start? Anybody?
Absolutely.
Anybody but Stephen?
Huh?
Anybody but Stephen? Oh, no.
You go ahead and I'll speak for your time.
Oh, you can, right now, if you have something that you think we need to talk about.
For the general meeting that we've got coming up, Howard Kravitz, I contacted him. He's a general DC doctor that gave us our AEDs for the state. And I invited him to the meeting, and he said he'd like to come. So if you could introduce him at the meeting. Speech about what he's done for the community here, and that would be a very nice gesture. We've got our paramedics on duty, and it's worked out very well. And we fired everything else that we did last weekend. It went very well, and the people are very encouraged about coming up here. We're accepting all comments that they made as far as helping our station and our operation of Walker Fire be improved, and that's basically the instructions that we've given, and they're really looking forward to helping out here. So
okay.
We've got about four different paramedics that are lined up to split the season, and we can go from there, and they say that they'll also be interested in helping training for our training times up here. So actually, we're getting our money's worth.
Okay, Stephen, thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to, I'm interested in seeing if the board wants to move forward on getting the weather station going. And Walker Wi-Fi thought my last proposal was we pick up half the cost of the equipment, donate. And so to the board, it would be something to the tune of like $500 or $600 to the other half.
Okay, Nick, we'll add it to the agenda under new business. Larry? I was going to ask you to do it, somebody to do it, yeah. And the one behind us, too, because it blanks your faces out. Betsy? Yeah, Betsy, we opened up this at the beginning, so if you have something you want to mention at the beginning before the meeting, that's fine. And we don't care when you do it. We don't necessarily answer questions now, although I'm answering a question now. But you can, yeah, and then if you want to, anything you want to say now, it's fine, or you can wait till the end, whichever you prefer. Okay, you go right ahead, Betsy.
The WPA is again having a Walker community close again this year. You don't know how many you saw this in the newspaper, but our community got a beautiful write-up in the newspaper. And that's a community. We got a beautiful write-up in the Catholic Charities this year. But we're again doing the co-drive. We often, every year that we have to run out of codes by now. But last year, on our third year, we exceeded the previous year. So we're doing it again this year, as many coats as we can acquire. Again, And again, we'll be accepting those that want to make a pledge for codes. And the codes all go to Coalition for Compassion and Justice and Catholic Charities. The dollars that are collected, which last year was around $1,500, bought close to 40, 50 dollar meals for families within the Tri-City area, the Thanksgiving meal. That was all donated and given for meals. So if you went and wish to participate, Victoria's Always Speech Experiment would like, again, would like to have a, to be able to sell tickets. This is for you all to consider for society. Again, at the annual meeting and at the pancake breakfast. And this is for your consideration for that. And anybody that we also collect funds for children's folks, the very children's folks in school. And anyone that doesn't want to donate or is unable or wants to participate, either buy a child's coat or you can donate $20, which our team goes out and buys the coat. You should be Victorian Jack, and we give, we gave about new coats for children's parents. That was one thing. And the other thing is this year, on July 13th, we have chosen a community, another community charity this year, and it's the Vet Center. The Vet Center is combat, it serves the combat vets of the Prescott area now from all of the different, it started with, I believe, Desert Storm or something, but they've now gone back and bought into this whole concept, all of the theaters that have occurred. And it assists the combat vets in therapy, readjustment. It not only helps the vets, at the VA, they're dealing with hospitalized vets. But this helps the veterans of the community and it's combat veterans. Not only them, but their families. If the family needs readjustment therapy, or they run out of gas, they run out of food, this is a, it's closely, it's a part of the VA, but not in a way, it's kind of 501c3 separate, but working closely throughout the nation with the veterans, with the VA. I've gotten complete approval from the VA, all the authorities at the VA, and we'll be giving a dinner at Stonebridge on July 13th, and that we're going to have a wall of honor for all Walker and Potato Patch veterans. We want to know about all Walker and Potato Patch veterans, their service, a picture. We're going to have a wall board. And to honor all of our local veterans, and the event center is also going to have displays there. I hope you have the VA color guard at the beginning of the meal, and possibly a speaker from the VA. They're looking at that. They're very super happy to work with us. The dinners are $30. Half of it will go to the vet center only, not through the VA, but to we can donate it directly to the vet center. And they will use those funds to help the veterans throughout the year, our local combat veterans.
Right.
And our only issue there, this will not raise a cent for the WCAA, but it not 1% goes to the WCAA. It will all go to them, and we'd like to for you to consider letting us have a table that we can sell the tickets. I think our tickets are going to be gone before we sell them, to tell you the truth, because it'll be internet or support tickets. But either way, I think the 200 that we can sell will be gone before we sell, because this will be the whole Presbyterian community. So I want you to be about recognize that and consider letting us have a table to serve our best of the whole Tri-City area.
What are the hours?
From 5 to 6:30. Oh, we'll have breakfast as well. There'll be a Stonebridge and Enderbeek room. The hours are from 5 to 6:30, the raffling and cocktails and all that. We also get $2 with a $5 drink charge that will go to that center. So not only to have the dinner tickets, but the drink ticket plus raffle, so maybe a couple of $3,000 next amount. So 5 o'clock, 6:30, 6:30 is dinner, and at 7:30 is I've hired a 3-part veterans only band for dancing from 7:30 to 9:30. They'll be vets only, so this is vets only, it goes for vets only. Please consider anything.
All right, Betsy, thank you. Did you mention something about a table? You need a table from us? Where?
No, we have a card table. Just to be able to have a little card table so we can sell tickets for the dinner.
At our booth?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Right.
Okay. This is not a WCA. Mm-hmm. And this is being our tickets. Everything says the Walker community is doing this for
them. Betsy, you want to do this at the annual meeting? Or you want to do it at the pancake breakfast and the mingle and things like that? Okay, that's fine.
I think we'll go out 200 tickets
okay.
For that. We may not have some more than one.
Okay, thanks.
I have another meeting. Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything they want to address the board with before the board meeting starts? We'll have the option at the end, too. Anybody else? Okay. A couple of things. We had the repeater lease. I don't know where the original signed copy that came from the new property owner up there where the repeater is. I don't know if Vic got it. Did you get it? Oh, you have it? Okay. The original.
Not the original. No, I have the scanned.
The scanned copy. Okay. And she was going to send the original here, and then we'll just incorporate that into the file. I don't know who ended up with it. Because it goes to the post office box. Okay.
The president.
Pardon?
The president's report.
I know. I'm looking at my notes and I can't read them. I just made them 30 seconds ago. So I think I said articles and we're going to discuss that later on in the board meeting. Okay. Secretary's report.
The minutes from the April meeting were distributed, posted up on the website. For the board to review, no changes so far. And then the audio file was also posted to correspond with that.
Okay, do you have a motion to dispense with the reading?
Yes. You're going to have to be a little faster.
And then Greg Stoddard seconds. Dispense with the reading of the minutes. Any discussion about this? All in favor?
Aye.
Treasurer's report.
Okay, Vic has asked me to go ahead and summarize. The summary, really, is we started off. This year we started about 30 days late with the dues drive. Besides that, though, we're net year to date only about $2,300 behind. Most of that is because the expenses are about $11,000 lower than they were projected to be. We have a little bit of a run that we've got to manage through at the end of the year. Our budget is $103,000 for contributions. We've raised $77,000, so it's really expenses that have helped us. We should get some lift on the May collections because May has whatever delays in the April dues letter came out, and then as well the newsletter asks again for additional contributions. So we're hopeful to close that gap, and we'll announce that in the treasurer's report at the annual meeting for the total summary. So we're not too bad off. Cash in bank is good. It's $109,000. So, unless there's any other questions.
Okay, have a motion to accept the treasury.
Motion.
Yeah, Johnny goes on there. Scott, seconds. Any discussion about the treasury's report? All in favor? Opposed? Fire chief report.
This was a much less busy month than last month. Calls, we had the Hood Owl fire on May 5th. We also had a smoke investigation this week, May 8th, that there was no fire. Okay, fire activity. So every year we get forecasts from Forest Service and a few other places. Fire danger levels are normal as opposed to drier or above normal. But they were normal last year when the Gladiator fire started, and there's been a fair bit of fire activity in the Prescott area already. Last week of April, there were several fires, not in Walker, but around Prescott. So the fire danger, despite being normal, our normal is pretty high. Fleet. Tender 81 had two rear tires replaced. The others will also need to be replaced. Amusingly, or maybe not, the rear tires on this tender were from 1994, so they were, as Bill said, about 15 years overdue. Training. The report says 18 people. We had one more pass as PAC test this morning, so we now have 19 people who are PAC tested. Our two trainings this past month were the truck refresher and a very comprehensive mock fire that turned out to be essentially perfect practice for the Hoot Owl fire in terms of structures and other complications. Powick, I attended the meeting this month, but there's nothing to report there. The Wildfire Expo was in April, and it's kind of their downtime for the time being. They're important to us because they historically have always paid for us to attend the Wildfire Academy, so that's an important relationship for us to keep up, which I do. Facilities, no report. Basin Ops, no report. Western Yavapai Chiefs Association, we did not have a meeting in May. There will be one. The next one is June 7th. Paul Gosar is going to be there. He's our area's representative to U.S. Congress. Greater Yavapai Purchasing Consortium. I just say on here, hope to move forward with this. So we've talked about the contract. It appears to be as advertised. Hopefully everyone read the contract. You know, I don't know if it requires a vote because it does need to be signed. If it does, you know, if it passes, it passes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But to sum it up, Central Yavapai Fire District is overseeing a very large purchasing consortium that will cover not only things like fire departments, but also school districts. Pretty much any type of municipal sort of entity can participate. And the idea here is economies of scale with purchasing. It's not realistic that they will be able to fulfill every purchasing need, but when we need to buy something like Nomex pants, we've got an Indian bag over there which is broken, things like that, you know, it's another source to go to. And if it's a very common item, then the expectation is it's going to be much cheaper than us going to Supply Cash or Darley or someone else to buy it. There's no cost to participate, and there's no commitment of exclusivity or anything like that. If they're cheaper, use them. If they're not, don't. And the contract appears to me to be as advertised. If you guys spotted anything in it that when I emailed it to you, then we can discuss that, but that's that. AEDs. So the two AEDs arrived, and relative to AEDs, they are pretty sweet. We put one in Rescue 81. We also have one in Patrol 81, which is with a fire truck that's at the substation. We took the older AED that had been on the rescue, and that is now in Patrol 83. And as a reminder, Patrol 83 is the one that this summer we're calling a command vehicle. So, you know, God forbid someone needs it, and I'm there first, I'll have it with me in my truck. Okay, severity patrols. Steve covered most of it. We commenced on May 4th. It'll run through the monsoon season, give or take a week. Oh, I missed one on the first page, paramedic update. So it's been implemented, as Stephen said. At this point, I don't think there's really a whole lot more to report other than what Stephen said. This is new. We are feeling our way through it. Whatever it looks like this year, the expectation should be that if we do it next year, it'll look a little different, hopefully a little improved. But so far, so good, and obviously the hope is that, you know, there is no call or a paramedic being there is the difference maker. But if it is, then hopefully we're prepared.
Okay, Roger, thanks. Now back to your purchasing consortium. We saw that contract. Is there any discussion? Somebody want to make a motion to accept that or to move forward with that contract?
Do you want to just go ahead and do that? Make a motion and then accept that you will sign it or something?
Well, what we'll do here is you made a motion to involve in a contract with the Central Yavapai Fire District for a purchasing consortium as per the contract that was distributed by Roger. Do I have a second?
Second.
Scott seconds. Okay, now is there any discussion about this contract? Did anybody have any questions about the contract? Other than me.
You read in there, or did I read, that you actually have to supply them a list of things that you purchase on a yearly basis and then a timing for that? I thought that's what I read.
Yeah, so I think that is 5.3. And I talked about it at the last meeting because that was something I asked them about. And, you know, I made it quite clear that our purchasing pattern is going to be very lumpy. And he said it's a best efforts. So they're, you know, they realize someone like us, and they want the smaller departments to be to participate as well. They realize it's it is going to be a best efforts estimate.
Okay, my question, Roger, and I think I sent an email about it, was that one of those paragraphs calls for if it's not pre-ordered or at least in the plan that there was a 10% or a 15% addition to the cost of the merchandise, which may make it still less expensive than what you would buy it from other places. So that was the only question I had, is if they are going buying retail for you and then they add another 10 or 15%, then there's no reason for us to use that particular part of the contract. But that was one of the paragraphs that was in there. And, I really don't care that they hold back 7%. I think that's one of the things that they do for administrative costs or add that onto our costs. If the end results are that the merchandise is still cheaper than what you can get it from your retail contacts, then I think this is a good idea.
So to address that part, you know, the answer there is diligence on my part of whoever is doing the procurement, to take the time to realize, net-net, it's $4 cheaper to go with them or $4 more. I mean, that's, part of my job.
Sure. Okay, good enough. Any other discussion? All in favor of this motion? Opposed? All right. So I think that the mechanics of this, the secretary or myself or one of the officers, the treasurer Vic, could probably commit the organization. So whenever you have the contract, Vic's probably the most convenient for you to use. Just have him sign the contract for us.
Okay. Well, you all have it, so it can be printed out. But
okay. Well, I'll sign it today.
Okay.
All right. Okay, fire chief report. Anybody have any other discussion about the fire chief report?
As far as the paramedic update, does that mean that we have a paramedic in the seat now? In other words, that's part of this already?
Correct to a point. So far, we've not had any problem with getting a paramedic to want to come. That also is best effort. So if there is a day where we can't find a paramedic to work the shift, then it would just be two firefighters. But our intention and the response, I think I set an expectation at the last meeting that we can probably get more than half the shifts covered, and it's looking like it'll be a little better than that. Maybe all of them, I'm not sure, but it'll certainly be, far more than half. We had last weekend both shifts, this weekend both shifts, and we've got a sign-up sheet in here, and it looks to be very well covered with a medic for one of the two.
Okay, any other questions or discussion about the fire chief report? Do I have a motion to accept the fire chief report? I'll talk about those.
Oh, you're doing it. Okay.
That's not my bad, baby.
All right. I have a motion to accept.
Second.
Okay, Greg's out of seconds. You're slow, Scott. All in favor?
All in favor.
Okay, committee reports. You mentioned the GIS. You mentioned the maps, the GIS. These maps were, Joyce started this process earlier in the week with Roger. Roger was asking for a map about where the fire was. He knew where the fire was. But we thought that by showing where the fire was, and then in relationship, there's a couple of different maps here. I have all the water agreement maps. What do they do with the Hoodow Ridge fire? By showing in this map the relationship between the fire station and where the Hoodow Ridge fire was in relationship to what we were talking about in terms of having a fire station or staging a truck up there, it shows that the distance between the two, and that it would be not a bad idea, and this kind of supports the premise that it would be better to have a truck there than to not have a truck there for faster response times. It just, the other thing about identifying where the fire was, it shows the density of the buildings around where the fire was, shows the complications that Roger dealt with when he was there on that fire. It doesn't necessarily show the steepness of the terrain, which he described in your report. But these are the kinds of things that Joyce has been working on and can do. She, and when you saw it on the computer screen, those little red lines that she had are actually, and some of the maps are gray lines. Those are the driveways, and she's working on a book of maps to be able to put in these trucks, and then she'll blow these up into a more readable format that'll look more like where the Hoot Owl fire is. She will have page after page of maps of where to get to and how to get to these locations. And she, and we had already done this area up there where this fire was. We had driven around and made the maps. She's working with that GIS program that she's provided us with. So that's what these maps are, just kind of an explanation of where the Hoot Owl fire was for those of us who weren't there can see, and what the relationship was. The other thing that's in these maps is that she is using the information provided by Roger and the others that we're getting about where the people are volunteering their water tanks, and she is placing those water tanks in the sites on the map so that they will be available. And that's the kind of stuff that she's doing with the mapping. Any questions?
What is a tank in null? Solid. What is a null?
She couldn't find where it was for sure.
No, those are, I think, two that she hadn't placed yet.
Yeah, she was having trouble identifying the parcel and where the tank was.
This one is very helpful. And
Roger.
Having this information, being able to distribute it, yes. I mean, to me, it's easier on a spreadsheet, but having this in our wheelhouse to be able to distribute if we ever have a large incident is huge.
Okay.
And and Joyce is going to
yeah, the expectation with this should be that this is not really for Walker Fire. Mm-hmm. This is for when we're, we've got something big here and we're getting a lot of help.
Okay.
And Joyce is going to meet with Roger this week. She's going to spend the week up here this week. Chuck?
So for anybody who's looking at this Hoot Owl Ridge map of Potato Patch, if you look where Walker Road comes to Poacher's Row, right underneath the A, Poacher's Row is where the fire station in the future could be, right underneath the A of Poacher's Row.
Okay.
To the extent it's useful in talking to Potato Patch, so it's about 4 miles closer to the fire, and Jody was home. So she could have been there in about 3 minutes.
This is from my position anyway, is that, it's certainly better to have it closer than further.
Yeah, so we would have had eyes on the fire a whole lot faster.
And once the Potato Patch works out their political problems, we'll have...
Well, is there anywhere, okay, so is this site specific that we're having this problem? Is there anywhere else you could put it? No.
Well, there's a lot of places there, but the problem is that there's no flat places that have what they have, water, electrical, everything's there. You just have two people who are basically stirring up a legal row, and so the board and Potato Patch, really, and the HOA, has to redo their rules in September.
Okay, and what's happening, Joyce and I have had a discussion about, and Mark Herron, when we put the thing up on the Big Book, said eventually the Forest Service would probably allow us to build on the Forest Service. But if we start that process, it may be a 3 or 4 year long process to get them to approve us building on a site that would be Forest Service property. And whether or not it's even possible, we don't know, but it's something we might want to discuss. And there may be other private property owners up there that might want to do like Mark did and allow us to build a building on their property. So, you don't know.
There was a property owner who was willing to store the truck for a short while until it was done, but he's not there all year long. And
Okay, so this is, that's an ongoing discussion. Okay, Lynn, let's talk about the dance, and then you can have your Walker Day and Firewise.
Okay.
Chuck, you want to talk about the dance?
I love to talk about the dance. So far, I attended the last dance, the first one and the last one. very well attended, and we think we had 70 people at the first one and maybe 60 at the second, and these are not spring chickens either. I mean, they're out there dancing, and they're having a hell of a good time. We had a good turnout. There was plenty of food available, and I think that Peggy has already handed off the contributions. I don't know who she gave it to, but...
I've got it. I haven't seen Vic, so when I see him, it's safely secured.
So with that, you know, we're having another one in June, and Peggy and Phil have requested that we put together something for July 13th, August 17th, and September 14th. So I'll leave it to the board. I think it's a good fundraiser for us. It's a good feel for us. And there are a lot of people who attend the dances who didn't realize that we had pancake breakfast and bingo, and they're willing to, I mean, these people are 55 and older. They go, well, we need something to do. So,
right.
Come on. So I think it's a good thing all the way around for us.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they, you know, and they mop the floor. So
don't mop the floor.
Don't mop the floor. Yeah, I think it's been a great thing. And as far as the monies go, I think that back to the treasurer, he has Christy will make the deposits, and we have some money from the bingo that we probably need to find Christy this weekend if she's there, and maybe we can take care of getting the money into the bank. Okay, Walker Day and Firewise, John.
Actually, I'll do Walker Day. Chuck can do Firewise.
Oh, sorry. Sure.
That's right. Somehow it'll all work out. Walker Day's going great. If anybody here wants to make cakes, Nick, you want to make a cake or cupcake?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, it looks like a no to me. all right, good, Myro. And that's really all we're looking for right now. And if anyone realizes that the day of the event they want to come down and help out, you know what? Morning last year I was just blown away with how many firefighters showed up just to get things arranged. And then cleanup is usually the biggest issue. We're going to wrap this thing up by 2, 2.30. It doesn't really go late. I mean, you've had about enough band by then and enough food, and everybody's tired, and it's been sunny and all that. So if people want to come down at 2, 2.30 and just help put chairs away, things like that, that would be great. But other than that, it's looking good, and I'm going to guess it'll be perfect weather. And that's the Walker Day update.
And I just wanted to say we did take a vote to make sure that the board members and the people do not go in and scavenge
right
on the
ahead of time.
That would be a plus. Maybe for the community. Please. Lauren, would you like to do the fire ride?
Not a whole lot to report. You can see what we've done.
Unfortunately, I've been under the weather. Lauren's been out here. But, yeah, the chipper came, but the grinder came in on Tuesday, Wednesday? Something like that. Spent a day and a quarter ground up all the stuff that's over there. And so we have mega chips available for the community, whoever wants them. And we've got more stuff to grind, so they left the grinder here. And I think not much else. We were thinking about doing Firewise Day at the annual meeting, and we still have to get in touch with Denny.
We'd like to have a speaker during the vote counting period, and I have not received confirmation from the emergency management director yet. If we don't have him, we'll have somebody else. Last resort, you might have to listen to.
Last year, I think it took an hour to count the votes.
Right. Right.
So it's something that, well, everybody's mulling around. We could have a speaker with some interest with the community, whether we're dealing with Firewise insurance or whatever. I think it would be a good idea, and if the board approves that, I think we should go with it.
In fact, one last thing about Walker Day. I'm still taking donations. Anybody has things they want to donate, building supplies, anything like that, household items, we're putting them right in the old fire station out back. So bring them to the annual meeting. That's something we can put on the web.
Yeah, in terms of the Firewise and the and your presence at the annual meeting, I think that we should probably can advertise that a little bit in the agenda. We'll try to publish the agenda a week or so ahead of time. I don't know if we'll be successful at getting it that far ahead of time. But let people know that there's going to be an education process as part of the annual meeting for Firewise, that there'll be information available for them, and kind of see if we can't generate some interest along those lines, because I think people are interested in the things that you've been doing. Now, this is what, this year, second or third dumpster for the Needles? Fourth for the Needles?
Four.
Yeah, and it's filling up. Yeah. People have been, it's been like a beehive back there with people dumping.
Yeah. And just a follow-up on the Firewise thing, and I'm maybe not everyone here is aware of it, and I've had several community members let me know that State Farm has come up and are inspecting their homes to make sure that they have proper distance for trees and prior to reinsuring them again. So this is becoming more and more of an issue as insurance companies are having to pay through the nose. They're looking at some lesser risks.
Okay. Anything else about the fire lines, Scott? Okay. I have a question. Well, Rudy, I think the questions come at the end.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Russ?
No, I'm looking.
Roger? And John's obviously not here. Anything else about the fire line? Okay. Well, here of the month, I have some certificates from the SABAs that we didn't have last week. So for you guys, it's like 2 months worth of work you guys did on the Duke Fighter and the...
Thank you.
Labor of love. Give a little recognition to Rudy Erdman. If you've been by the old, by the where the mailboxes are, he cleaned that up fine there. It looks pretty nice back up in there now.
Thank you.
Old business. Articles of incorporation. We have the last month we were undecided and we didn't vote during the meeting, but during the following succeeding days, we had an email vote to approve the articles as amended for presentation to the membership, and it was included in the newsletter. So we have to, we need to make a resolution. The resolution's already been made to present them to the membership. The vote was held. We just need to make the record here that we've done that, and the resolution was passed unanimously by the board to make the presentation to the membership to approve these bylaw articles, not the bylaws, the articles. The bylaws we'll deal with next year, but the articles simplified them, took some of the onerous things that were in there out of it, and we'll have a discussion about that at the annual meeting. It has been passed by two-thirds of the membership that's present at the annual meeting. The annual meeting, we've had some discussion about the agenda. I don't know that we need to try to hammer out the agenda. We've had some discussions about it. Firewise wants to be there. Stephen S. Wants to have the speaker, Dr. Kravitz, to make a presentation. We don't want to make the annual meeting drudgery, because it can be drudgery. And Chuck?
I just got a note from Jack Smith's secretary that he's planning on as a supervisor, a new supervisor for our area, planning and spending. They'd like the agenda as soon as we get it.
Okay, so he doesn't want to be on the agenda, does he? Okay. Yeah, Jack has been here many times, over the course of the last year or so. So he's familiar with how we operate and what goes on here. So, but he's, we'll certainly give him a call out and recognize him. And then during the vote counting, it's possible that he might be able to see if we'll ask him if he has anything. You want to ask him if he has anything to say?
I sure could.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The other issue that we've been discussing is the election and the proxies. I think, Greg, do you want to address this? I think you've cleaned it up pretty well in terms of...
Yeah, I can condense it. The one thing on the annual meeting, you're going to want to...
Come on, man.
4 years.
4 years.
Before you retired.
And this is a small thing, but this is something that we do need to get finished. For the annual meeting, we need the tellers. I know I volunteered to be one of them, but we're going to need three more, and then Russ is going to be the overseer's secretary.
Okay.
So you may want to do a shout-out for tellers. Okay, on the proxies, in the bylaws that we approved last year, it permitted proxies. And I'll just read what I sent to the board to memorialize. This is to cover all the bases for the annual meeting.
I suggest that the UFBA board agenda a motion to set April 22nd, 2013 as the record date to determine the members AETEF pursuant to section 3.13 record date of the amended WFBA bylaws. In this section, the board may, doesn't have to, but may fix in advance a record date which shall not be more than 60 days nor less than 10 days before the date of such meeting, and in this case we're talking about the annual meeting. April 22nd, 2013 is the date of the member list that will be used for the annual meeting, and that is the date on which the originating list was pulled from the Yavapai County Assessor. I would suggest that in the future the board set the record date in the April board meeting so that it's in advance of the annual meeting and so that we also have the poll date that's agreed by the board in advance of the actual poll of the report. Questions?
Okay, now you're talking about the record date.
The record
date. In terms of acceptance of proxies, are you going to have a, do you have a thought on that? What's the last date you can accept proxies or deliver proxies?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's posted in the website. It's posted on the instructions for the proxy. And really, if you're going to mail it, then it's going to need to be mailed a couple of days in advance of the annual meeting. Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. I think we showed a date of Wednesday, May 22nd. It has to be mailed so that we get that for count. And assuming that we have it in hand in the fire station, anybody that wants to walk in a proxy, then they can do that up until 9 o'clock the day of the annual meeting. At that point, the procedure would be is that that's matched up against the list of members, which is the April 22nd date member list that I just referenced. That'll be checked for validity and then accepted or not.
Okay. Any discussion about the any thoughts on this?
Sure. I guess just a clarification. So if someone has a proxy and they've given it to someone else, they could bring it to the annual meeting, basically give it, we'll have a box there or something like that for proxies?
Well, they will need to be validated, which means they need to go to the secretary.
Okay.
Check it off the list.
Okay.
So that we keep track of it.
And these are the folks that basically are right up front. They'll go to where the initials are, you know, A through L, whatever it is.
And then just hand the proxy over.
Okay.
We'll do the validation, just as if we were talking in the back.
And then at that time, we just put it into like a ballot box or something, and it's official?
Yes.
Okay.
Secretary.
All right. Just a clarification so we
sure.
know, because this is the first time we've ever done this.
It is.
Procedure. Okay.
This will be interesting.
First time in a long time they used to do proxies.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Okay, Scott.
Okay,
we need a motion to establish this procedure.
So go ahead. That was a heavy one.
So I'll draft a motion here. We need a motion that says on April the members eligible to vote will be defined by a list that has been pulled from the Yavapai County Assessor's Office on April 22nd. And that people wishing to vote by proxy will have their votes, their proxies, delivered to the fire station before 9 o'clock in the morning on May 25th.
Right. And that's consistent with the instructions.
That's consistent with the instructions. Okay. So, do I have a motion, Scott? You move. Is that your motion?
Yes.
Do I have a second for that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I think Chuck just nudged me out on that.
I felt me sleeping. There was flinch.
It's just random.
Random.
Okay, Chuck Bauer seconds. Any other discussion about the voting process and the proxies?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about that. I'm not sure this is the right next year.
Well, now's the time to do it.
Now the proxies or just the voting itself?
My
question had to do with what Greg's synthesis was of our pages of definitions. So are we actually going to be monitoring the ATDBDBDBD?
Oh, yes.
I'm confused about the whole process.
Yes, and I'm sure that this will be tested in one form or another, but going line by line off the new bylaws, literally,
What we needed to do is pull the list, as I had mentioned, and we've used the county list. We've gone through and scrubbed the county list so that what we can identify is, you know, the two votes per parcel, whether it's a natural person or a corporation or an LLC. That list Russ has now, it's been divided up so that they can be handed to four tellers, with the secretary being the overseer. But line by line, the people that have effectively have to own or have an ownership interest or at that point a leasehold interest, for example, it could be another way of having an interest in property and real property. That's the first qualification. The second qualification is that effectively that you show up and ask to vote or hand a proxy. There are other qualifications such as donating, such as volunteering time. Those are all superfluous because when you finally get down to the last one, all you have to do is show up. So the qualification on that list is show up to the proxy or otherwise.
Show up and be a property owner.
And property owner. Or a renter. Or a renter, but yeah.
Right. There you go.
Other than that, I think that really sums up the voting process for the annual meeting. Oh, and as far as the posting is concerned, that's the only other thing I think that we haven't covered. At a minimum, the annual meeting notice needs to be posted between 60 and 10 days. It needs to be posted absolutely on the board outside. It can be posted in any other variety, for example, website, newsletter, and I think we've covered most of those. So that make sure that we got
paper like this paper for the board.
Yeah, the yellow sheet. Got the plastic liner on it, so.
You got that.
Okay. Okay, any other discussion about the proxy process and the election process? All in favor of this motion? Opposed? All right. Passes. What do I do with my agenda?
EPA.
Oh, EPA.
EPA is cranking. I think we're going to wrap this thing up maybe by 18th. 20th? Yeah. So we got all the top. For those of you who aren't familiar with what they're actually doing there, they've scooped out dredged out all the stuff that slipped out of these tailings, arsenic and lead and everything, and they pile it right back up on top of the ponding area, and they've covered that with 3 or 4 feet of material, reseeded, put all their logs, straw rolls, everything in there. They've taken a culvert along the north side. Everything slopes that way, so along the north side, along Eureka, and right down across to Eagle and underneath Eagle. Used a great new thing, which was really impressed. They're impressed with. Actually, it's called concrete cloth, and they laid it down. They dug a trench and they laid it down. They put an 18-inch drain tile on that thing, and when they water it, the thing turns to concrete. It's pretty impressive. So they've got all that cut out right now. They've got most of their materials. They got the organic materials at the borrow pit, mixing that. They've got most of that up there. If you've noticed, they haven't had some of the flaggers here in a few days. I had a comment from Dan Chains. Well, where's all this traffic that we're supposed to be controlling? I said, you know, maybe our notices actually worked. People are taking a break and not doing that. So they're doing a great job, and they're right now talking with the county about the culvert that they have to put underneath Walker Road. Whether or not they're going to be able to dig underneath Walker Road, and that's sort of because of the rock formations there. We'll see how that goes, but I was encouraged that you know they're moving along pretty quickly, actually. And Joe, the construction boss guy, and Joe Jr., you know, who is, you know, I said, Joe, you were supposed to put an apron over here on our parking lot. Well, yeah, I took care of that. Packed it all in. I said, no, I think you're thinking about the borrow pit. Oh. So he said, kick me in the butt. So I did. And so they came out, they put some stones, and they just recently cleaned that up. I think Wednesday, Laura said they were out here and put a crushed rock in there, packed it down with a loader, and so that's going to stay there.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to get in and out of that right now. Hopefully, the water tank should be gone the week of the 20th, which might be beneficial to us on fire-wise. That's a hope. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else. They have had a lot of interest in the rock pile since they've been up here, which is the part on Mary May, which they've gone down and did some more water testing and sampling, and the gabion wall there is terrible. They know that it's terrible, and the creek is being polluted with lead and arsenic, and so when they're looking at some bioscientists to come up and maybe take a look at this thing. In the meantime, I'm not sure everybody's aware of that, but that property was sold, and a young man named Paul, I don't know his last name, friends of Dave Bleiber and Danny Schaefer, the guy whose house burned down up on top of our cahoots on this property. They bought about 7 acres. It goes down along the rock pile, Mary May, where the old fire station is, actually.
Right.
I'd like to find out what their intentions are, because I've heard that they want to build some holes up there and behind Mount Nance and Eldon. So I don't know what's going on there. We'll find out.
I spoke with, I think, a lady named Nancy that's part of that, either the wife of one of those guys, about that property and that building, and I asked her what they were going to do. So whether or not they're going to let us use it or not, you know, we built the building. It's similar to the situation up on the Big Bug, but that's been many, many years ago, and I don't believe there's any contract that we can find that would give us any right to that, no easement or anything that gives us right to it. I don't think certainly nothing has been recorded, I don't believe.
Have we ever had any plans to do anything with it since it's been there? Or, I mean, the building's there. It's usable. It's just not heated. It's not powered. It's not anything.
Move it down. I think they used it and then left the truck in there. It froze up.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what's in it now. I don't know who owns what's in it. I don't have any idea.
It's been there for
a long time. Yeah. Okay.
Good update.
All right, the repeater lease, we need to probably make a motion to enter into that agreement. We talked about it, and you want to retroactively make a motion to enter into a lease with the new owner of that property. So do you move that? Is that your motion, John?
Yes, that is my intention and motion.
Okay, to enter into the contract. It's the same contract that was modified as what we used with the Big Buck. They were happy with it. You all saw it. So second? Scott, seconds. Okay. And any other discussion about that? It's for 10-year renewable for 5-year increments. I think Vic, I asked him to send her a $100 check for the 10 years, so I don't know if he did or not. Okay, all in favor? Okay. Walker Trash, we're ready to, I think we can put $6,000 out of Walker Trash. I didn't get a hold of Adam yesterday to have him do it yet. I talked to Vic about it. It'll cut me down, you know, to pretty bare bones in terms of December, January. But I believe because of the reduction in expenses over waste management from Patriot, that we'll have, you know, the $6,000 can come out. We have, I think, $13,000. We were making a rough estimate of some $5,000 that we have to pay out, you know, for the remainder of the year. Plus, we have a $2,500. Insurance payment that's due at the end of the year, so that would make $7,500. You know, so, but we'll have some other subscriptions, so I think we'll be okay.
Just one comment about that, and one comment a little bit on the EPA thing. When does the trash actually get picked up? Because we were doing Mondays. When is it now?
I don't know when they're doing it.
Not Monday.
No, he knows. Thursday, and they're going to make an extra pickup after Memorial Day weekend. Then they'll do an extra pickup after Memorial Day, after July, after the 4th of July, and after Labor Day. If we need additional cans, we will get additional cans as we need them. But if we can deal with what we have, then we're paying $550 a month versus $750 a month, about $350 a month. Versus $750. It's a $400 a month savings using Patriot.
Okay, just a further thing on the EPA, which really is ancillary, because the EPA was over here when we put this water tank in, and they noticed the the groundhog digging in the creek over here for gold. And so the head of the EPA actually contacted the Army Corps of Engineers, and they've opened up a case file on this on the creek here. The county development people were down, threw a couple of banners out of here several weeks ago. We were supposed to be putting private property signs out and no parking and things like that. I don't know where we are with that. But and I've commented on several of those miners, and if anybody's noticed, there haven't been any miners down here in the last week or two, because nobody seemed to think that it was private property. They are all aware that the mining god told them that, you know, these maps indicated it was a property that they could be mining on, and the only property that the Forest Service laws is north of Lynx Lake. This is all private property, so I made them aware of that, and there haven't been too many around. There have been a couple, but not too many.
Just as a point of information, the Army Corps of Engineers has been here. I should have had it in my report. I visited with them, they checked out the whole thing, they took a bunch of pictures, they couldn't believe what was going on over there with the dirt, and, you know, so it is their intention to pursue this, to, you know, as far as getting in touch with the landowner. Apparently, if the landowner knows about it and then allows it, the landowner can get in trouble. If the landowner doesn't know about it, that's something else, but, so they're going to make the landowner aware of it, or landowners, if there's more than one. They're very motivated to bring that to an end. Part of why it may be empty also is the price of gold fell a lot.
Yeah. Well, I love that too. But, and the only thing that you can't outlaw panning, per se, but when you move material from one section of a creek into another section of a creek, you're actually abusing the Clean Water Act, and that's where they can nail them. And it can be a felony.
Okay, and then an answer to your question about the signs, I contacted that towing company. He said it would be several weeks before he could get signs printed, and then he was going to come out, and at some point he's going to come out and look at the property and see where we can put the sign. But he was only going to get four printed. It's going to cost him like $120.
I'll be happy to donate some money to put up private property signs.
Yeah, and there is a website called cheapsigns.com that you can buy signs for about $25. So it's cheaper than having. He's paying much more than that for those signs. Okay, anything else from your old business that I may have missed? New business, the website and social media. There was some discussion about. I'm sorry that Chris isn't here. The website and tweeting and that sort of thing. Chuck?
Yeah, Chris contacted me, and I, you know, just to lay this down to the bones, we did set up a new website, and Chris is a webmaster. He's done a lot of work in trying to get everybody to use the website as much as possible. And Roger also has a Facebook site where he posts a lot of the fire department issues and things, and that's a good one. And I had a discussion with Roger about it, and then there's been some comment, email threads back and forth about maybe adding a social community content to the Facebook content, which, you know, I'm starting to scratch my head now, because now we have a website with fire and community stuff on. Then Roger's got his own Facebook site with fire, and then maybe we're thinking about adding a community section to the Facebook section, and, you know, getting another manager in here or administrator. Roger's administrating his Facebook. Chris is administering the website, and then we might need another manager for the social contact. And then, you know, to add on top of that, Shelley wanted to set up a tweet account so that whenever the fire, like Hoodall Ridge, that always gets the tweets right out there, so everybody knows what's going on. It's like, well, wait a minute, you know, we're going to have to get a social media director to work all this stuff. So my comment was, I don't care what the board wants to do. You know, I don't think we need three administrators to work in the area of community messaging and things. Roger put out a good point. He said, well, if you put something on the website, you know, people have to actually go there and see it. if you put it on Facebook, it actually tickles the people who are on Facebook, and so they can see the thing right away, so they, it's an instant communication. Is that right?
It pushes out to people, as opposed to forcing people to go seek it. It pushes to them.
And my comment to Roger in our conversation was, well, there's some people here who aren't on Facebook, and so that would, you know, and we have an older group that maybe that doesn't work, and he understands, and there's also younger people here who do use it. And so I guess I was trying to put it to the board, do we want to either keep the website we have as it is? Do we want to redo the whole thing to make it a social media deal or combine, have combinations? Because I don't think that it's a good idea to have a lot of directors or administrators involved in disseminating information to the community. It doesn't seem like it would make a lot of sense to me, but... You know, I'm an older guy, so a lot of stuff doesn't make sense to me anymore. So I'm putting it out to the board because I'm surely open. I just think, you know, Chris brought it up because I guess he was feeling a little, I don't know what. Well, he's put a lot of time and effort into that.
More like stepped on.
Yeah, more like stepped on would be. Yeah, he's probably stepped on. So I'm putting it out to you.
Okay. Russ, you have anything about Facebook tweets?
Yeah, I recently...
You're the guy. To use a mic. Oh.
So I recently took a class. I worked for IBM, and they had us taking a class about using Twitter accounts. And I decided not to do it after going through the class. There's too much information, too much disinformation that can actually be sent out through Twitter accounts. Things become confusing. I think having a central location, be that Facebook or be that the website, is probably a better way to go. It's one contact, one point of contact. You have to seek the information out. I understand that. Not everybody gets pushes from Facebook. I restrict my pushes and what comes over on my phone. So... That'd be my suggestion, just stay with a single site.
Okay. Go ahead.
Somebody else. Roger?
So one, as far as the Twitter feed, there can be no expectation of a real-time update during an incident. Coincidentally, one community person emailed Chris, is there a fire going on? Chris forwarded to me, copied the one person on, and it was kind of later in the incident, so I was able to respond to the email and say, we're fighting it now. So there can be no expectation of a real-time update. The nature of the Facebook page, so I started this a year and a half ago, whatever. The nature of the Facebook page as it is now is when we have an incident, after the fact, I'll put up a couple of pictures. That's it. It's just a fun thing. If I see something that's useful, like the thing that I quoted in my report about the fire danger thing, the map. I posted that just because it was useful. If I see something fun, I'll post it. There was a picture of a kind of a snowmobile-ish looking thing in the snow that was a fire truck. You know, so it's just kind of that sort of stuff. If you want to embed, so that's just fire department stuff. It's not community news. If you want to embed community news into it, kind of like what Chris does, then yes, it would be a duplication of sorts, in a way yes, in a way no, but I would request that a second administrator, and there can be more than one administrator, but that a second administrator step up to do something like that. As far as not doing it, I think that's incredibly short-sighted to not have the presence in both a website and a Facebook page. I mean, the nature of how the world is evolving is, you know, organizations have multiple outlets. That's just how it is. My wife is the vice president for an animal rescue nonprofit. Financially, they are much bigger than we are. And they have all of these things. And she coordinates all of it, Facebook, Twitter, and there's a way to link Facebook to Twitter. So it's not even a thing where you need a second person. But, you know, to the extent we're interested in this at all, you know, we need to be educated on it. And it's, you know, usually the way you update Facebook and you have it set up to automatically update Twitter, which is one click of a box, and usually the Twitter feed will point you back to something else. So it's a way that we can drive traffic to the website. I mean, frankly, the conversation, Alex's role in the conversation leads me to believe he doesn't understand social media, which is, you know, that's just the creation. Sorry, Chris. Yeah, that was the impression he created, that he just doesn't understand it. I might be wrong, but whatever. But to not do it seems woefully short-sighted and not forward-looking.
Greg?
Well, we've got the separation right now. We've got the website from Webmaster, and you're managing this other Twitter feed?
Facebook.
I'm not sure why we wouldn't. I guess what it gets down to is taking a look at it strategically and doing it right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why we wouldn't do it.
I hope to live my entire life without ever having to be on Facebook.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, okay.
However,
then I also never want to change a baby's diaper either, so I never had to do it in my life. If Roger feels that it's helpful for us in terms of emergency or whatever, fine.
That's all I got.
Probably more than I needed to give. As always.
So are you suggesting, I hope you're not, that real time, not after the incident, that you would want to, through another administrator, get it tweeted out? Or are you saying connect it up afterwards so everyone can be updated?
I'm not sure I fully understand your question, but basically there can be no expectation of real-time anything.
Right.
It's not impossible, but there can be no expectation of that. The way we have it now, so we had this fire on Sunday. We were done. I was home. I pulled a couple of pictures off my phone, you know, 2-3 hours later. Put on, hey, we had a fire. Here's a picture. That's about it. So that's how it's being used now. It would logically evolve into something that's more useful, that may or may not mean real-time anything. I don't know. But right here, right now, it's early days, and it's, you know, providing little bits of information. And the way that we should structure it, in my opinion, is as a tool to circle back to the website. Chris puts a detailed narrative, like the fire. He posted a detailed narrative of the fire with the pictures I gave him. So, and Twitter, same thing. You know, we link up a Twitter account to Facebook. It all circles back to the website.
So, good. And I don't use Twitter. I don't use Facebook. It'll be a cold day in hell before I have either of them. I know a lot of people do. You said that there's a way to link up so that the Facebook and the website could automatically link up to Twitter when it is posted. Is that a simple thing to do? I don't see any negative to that.
So precisely, we create a Twitter account, Walker Fire or whatever. Then when we link it to Facebook, so when we post something on Facebook, it will simultaneously update Twitter. It'll be an abbreviated post because Twitter only allows 140 characters. And part of what is included in the 140 characters is a link back to whatever. It might be the Facebook page or it might be the Walker website page, or some, you know, a page on the Walker website. But so, precisely speaking, we would drive it all from Facebook. If I'm doing this, it would be easier to drive it all from Facebook, have it then go out to Twitter.
So there's no negative associated with it anyway. We're not losing anything. We're not losing time. We're not losing money. It's just giving greater information and greater recognition from what the Walker Fire Department did.
It costs nothing. I mean, it's a tool, so we need to make sure we don't use it ineffectively. You know, mistakes get made on Twitter and Facebook all the time, so that's part of the equation is, you know, we don't want to pound people over the head with information that if we're posting things 10 times a day, which we're not going to do, but if we did, you increase the chance of giving out bad information. So that's something, you know, learning curve oriented. But, you know, I would say, I know, Chuck, you looked at the page, but I think unless there's something really big going on, it's maybe one thing a week that goes up there on the Facebook page. For now, if we want to do more community stuff as opposed, in addition to fire department stuff, we need a second administrator. And, you know, how often does an email come out from Chris? It would be similar. That's his name, Chris. It would be a similar type of thing where there might be one thing that's fire-related a week and one thing that's community-oriented a week or every 2 weeks.
Okay, Chuck, what I would like to do is I go around the table and everybody speak and that includes me, so.
Go ahead.
But
I think that Russ's point about what's happening to the parent. Those of us in our generation don't really understand. That's not necessarily true. There are a lot of people our age that are tweeting and using Facebook, and they use it to great advantage for personal uses. And then, as Russ points out, it's abused. What's happening now, as I see it, Roger has instituted a Facebook page from himself as a personal thing. And what we're talking about here is, do we want to adopt something like that as the WFPA and have an official Facebook page other than what Roger as fire chief is sending out to his people who have subscribed or signed on or whatever the terminology is, and at the same time people that are interested in having a tweet that these, you know, these, what is 140 characters, you know, that are relatively quick messages. The way we lead our life is it's just quick information messages. You know, you could actually grow this thing to where you have, when you have an incident, our tweeter would be sitting down here listening to the radio, sending out tweets to everybody in Walker, and everybody has an avid interest in what's happening in a fire. I mean, when there's a fire going on, even if it's a small one, like the Hoot Owl fire and the other couple of fires that you've had, there's a tremendous amount of interest in that. It's similar to the weather station. Okay, so you have, now do we want to take a position as a board that we want to do something official and have somebody responsible for doing that kind of work? The way it is now, Roger's sending out information. People that want to friend Roger, that's what I guess the word is, friend Roger.
They don't even need to do that for this. They just need to follow Walker Fire.
Just follow Walker Fire. But are you out there as Walker Fire? Are you out there as Roger Nussbaum? Okay.
Yeah. This is the page I created.
For Walker Fire.
Yeah, we post as Walker Fire. That's what people see.
Okay. And then I guess the question before us, or not, that what we're discussing here is whether or not we want to adopt this as our official posting of Facebook, that we take this on as a group, relieve you maybe from some of that responsibility and have other people that participate in it, but you would still be part of that. And then whether or not to include that with tweeting. It seems like in this day and age, as you point out, there's no reason to not do that if you have the manpower to do it, because it's not taking or subtracting away from any of our energies and the people that want to volunteer and step forward and do it. It is a good way to provide information. Now, you're diluted by, I have a lost cat, I have a lost dog, and people that, you know, those are interesting community things. Somebody can set up a tweet and a Facebook page for those kinds of social things around in Walker. But if I were getting those kinds of messages, I would probably say I don't want to hear them anymore, see them anymore, but I would be interested in you talking or somebody talking about what you've done and what's happening and what you're responding to fires. So that's just my view, is that you... It's a media, it's a opportunity for us to express ourselves to more people faster, and it's not necessarily a negative. And Chris, it doesn't detract from him because, like you say, it points back to the website.
Okay, and I hope I phrased it properly. I don't think I was trying to say, you know, it could be one or the other. There's options how we look at this, and I'm open to the situation. I don't know that. I think Roger is enjoying having this Facebook and posting things on there, and Chris, you know, it isn't that he doesn't know about Facebook. He just doesn't like Facebook. So there are people in the world who don't want to tell people when they're going shopping or when they're going to the bathroom, and you know, people don't care. But I do think that as an organization, it would probably serve us to open all this up, and you know, I'm not against that. It's just, how do we do that? And so I guess whether we point back to the website or whether we and tweeting, you know, personally, my feeling about, I listen to the scanner all the time. When I'm home and there's a fire, I'm on that scanner. And when Roger switches to a technical net, I don't have that station. So I'm like, damn, I can't get all the information. You know, I can go from Walker Fire, I can go to the alarm, but I can't go to that one. So, here's what happened. Because I do listen to it, my friends and neighbors know that. People call me, well, what's going on? you know, well, should we leave? Or, you know, and I'm thinking, well, we don't want to get to the point where we're, like Roger was saying, we're doing this in real time because then people go, well, everybody evacuate. Okay, is that a good idea? Well, are we circumventing the sheriff's posse? Are we, you know, what are we doing in that situation? So I think if we do something along with social media, I think it's a good idea. I just think we have to make sure that we, you know, coordinate this and make sure that it's managed properly because we don't want to step on anybody.
Okay.
One other thing, actually, this is kind of interesting. I should have mentioned this before. During the fire, in addition to the email from the one resident, someone who follows Walker Fire on Facebook posted from the potato patch and said, there's a fire up here. Does anyone know what's going on? I think Joellen, that's my wife, I think she posted an answer. I'm not sure, I know I did when I got home. People looked to, so we had an incident, people looked to the Facebook page to try and get information. There is a problem with real-time information, that's not the point.
Right.
But the point of the comment is that it was, you know, by one person who apparently lives up there and knew about the site, he looked to it for information.
I don't want to beat this to death, but I'm sure everyone's read, as far as Twitter and vehicles, sometimes that news comes out instantaneously, but you take that with a grain of salt. Okay, so the news wires pick it up. I think that's what the department should do is take a look at it, get some people to know exactly how these things work and what meant for Roger, and then come up with just a concept or policy, because maybe the fire department doesn't want to be the administrator. I don't know. But maybe the fire department would endorse it, right, if somebody else managed it, because I think there is a lot of value. I think there's a lot of value that... I've got several neighbors that do call Chuck, for example, or me, and I think if he had some vehicle like that, they'd have the information and some things. So I think there's a lot of value. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, and where we're at right now, how, when, and where. You know, you want to do business, banking, or whatever it is that you do, and I think more outlets that you have for your membership, in this case, the better off you are. Just understanding what that means for us.
Okay, John.
I'm out.
John. Okay. So I think that there's a sense we don't, like in the endorsement, it's a great thing you're doing. We're going to have more discussions if we want to do it as a WFPA board, as we want to assume responsibility for it in some way or not. And with Russ's concerns about misinformation and other things that, you know, might kick up, you know, something for us to discuss, really, to think about.
You think that'd be something we might open up to a suggestion from the annual membership?
No. You know, we have to make decisions. People complain about it, that's fine. But, I mean, you cannot have a committee of 1,000 for everything that you do. We have to make decisions.
Another issue, if we're starting to give information through Twitter, if we don't give information about something,
right,
we now may be held liable because we didn't tweet something that was relevant to a situation, so we could be opening ourselves up there.
Yeah, there's always questions for sure. Okay, all right. Nick, you had talked about the Walker Weather Station, and you're suggesting that it would be like $500 or $600 to as our participation, or is that the total cost? $500 or $600, and we would split that. There would be $1,000, and we split that.
Last time I looked at it, I guess, and what we could do is come up with a more formal number. But, well, let's just say what I'm looking for is $600 from the WFPA, and I'll match that $600. I think that's pretty much covered. If there's an overage, I'll take care of it.
Well, you know, we have a video recorder in there that probably is compatible with the internet. I'm not sure we even have access to it because I don't think anybody knows the access codes anymore.
Probably a dinosaur.
Yeah, well, they're not all that different.
Can I ask a question? What are we actually seeing here? What are you offering? What does it entail today?
What I use is a Davis. What I use is is Davis Instruments, a professional weather station. It would require a snow heater so that you can actually measure the precipitation of the sleet, snow, etc. coming down here. I had one here when I lived here, and I since moved it to Cape Creek. And but it also, it's sophisticated enough that there's a small little module that posts by the minute real-time information up to the wonderground.com site, which I believe now has been purchased by weather.com. But anyway, then the webmaster can put a little, there's a little, it's a little, they call it a stamp or something, put it on the website so they can see real-time what's going on with the weather. They can click on that. It goes to the site where they can chart and graph and look at history last year, last month, last week, you know, whatever that they want to do.
Camera feed?
There is a link that you can put into a camera. I think you were leading to a question about the, you know, the security system or whatever. I would propose leaving that completely separate. If we want some kind of a snow cam, that we could look at adding something like that maybe in the fall. I would propose, let's just get the weather station up and running first, you know, take a step at a time. But this is something that I do. It's something I know how to do. Glenn would help me set it up here. You know, there'll be other volunteers and stuff. So I'm just looking for a cap of about $600, and, you know, my half of it will probably be about $600. And if, like I said, if it's over, to get it up and running, I'll, you know, by $100 or $200, I'll take care of that also.
Okay. I think that you had broached this subject once before, and you know, we keep putting it onto the next board. But we $600. We have a discussion about this, and right.
I suggest you do it.
And where we go? Oh yeah. And why would you suggest that, Craig?
You're going to drag it, Rudy.
Yeah.
I think everyone wants to go home.
Why do you say that? I honestly, I don't know. I look out the window. I know what the weather is like. But I mean,
you live
there. That's pretty excellent. I lick my finger, put it out the car window. I know about how fast I'm going. I don't, you know, it's 600. It's not the biggest thing I've ever heard. But this is something that I'd ask the community if they want to spend $600 on. Scott. If there's some safety feed.
Nick, do we have a real-time feed maybe connected up through the website so if you're down in Phoenix, you could go on and see what's going on?
Yes, Dad, you can.
Okay. So I think that would be a service to the people that can't put their finger out the car.
Yeah.
Where they can actually go. I know a lot of times the weather predictions of Prescott are very different than they are in Walker. So I think it would be a good service that the community would probably enjoy. So I make a motion that we should go ahead and just cut to the space.
Are you going
to
make a move?
I'm in favor.
Wait. Scott made a motion. So we have a second?
We have a discussion.
You have a second for the motion?
Second.
Okay. So your discussion was you think it's a good idea?
Totally.
Okay. Yes?
Nothing.
Roger.
Just a point of information, you guys voted this down.
Okay.
I already said.
Okay. Yeah, I think that in terms of, we had made it a practice to not take an item in a board meeting and then vote on it, unless we had some discussion and some thought about it in terms of what we want to do. I think that the consensus was in the past, when we did this before, was we think it's a good idea. Generally, we think it's a good idea. It's a matter of funding, whether or not, you know, that we have the $600 that we want to spend in this manner. Because we are, although we're only $2,500 on the budget, we are $2,500 under expenses in terms of what was spent. So if you think that this is worthwhile, if we as a group think this is worthwhile, the other option is that, as Greg suggested, or John, that we put a jar out at the annual meeting and ask people if they want to kick in for this particular purpose, or we just like to vote, make the decision, and do it. So
I'm
out about it.
I mean, I think there's a couple members here who would be willing to donate some of the money right now.
Well, that'll save Chuck some phone calls.
I make a motion that Chuck and I contribute equally, and it's done.
Alternatively, we'll do it.
Call me.
Okay, so there's a motion in front of us. The motion is that we spend the money for the $600. We give $600 for the weather station, and there's been discussion about it. There's a couple of options about maybe whether people volunteer or not. Does it make any difference? The motion is that we spend $600. If we get $600 back from donations, that's fine. If we don't get it, we spent $600. So,
I think we talked about this before. Is there not, should we maybe ask Chris whether there's some sort of widget that we can get from NOAA with the coordinates and get the same thing for free?
I think that Nick is the guy that knows about those things.
Okay.
Nick,
to answer to that. Maybe I'm missing the full value here or something.
Okay, the primary value is a couple of things. One of them is that, especially for fire stuff, what comes with this weather station is a console. Roger would have this in the office. He can look at it. If there's a helicopter coming in, they can see the wind, the direction, the speed, all that information right there, temperature, dew point, et cetera. Dew point's good. There's a lot of people that have properties up here that don't live up here. And the thing about coming up, did it rain? How much precipitation have we had? They can look at the charts and graphs and see in July that monsoons haven't hit yet. They have hit yet. There's a lot of good stuff there. It'll drive traffic to the website. There'll be a nice little sticker right up on the website, real-time Walker weather. So,
could you put a thing in that says, don't call Chuck?
All right, value added. I like it.
As an aside, when I lived outside of Flagstaff in a rural area, we had one of these, and the news would actually go on to the link and post it as to what was going on in parks where I used to live. So it would create recognition of the areas, the weather being different. So I don't see any downside on it.
Okay, so who's the seconded?
Well, there was just one other comment I was going to make. It wasn't my intent, but when I put it up in Cave Creek, next thing I know, if anybody searched for Cave Creek weather, my station comes up. So if somebody wants, in Bangladesh, wants to look at the weather in Walker, Arizona, it will end up coming up.
All right. We have a call for the question, or we still have a discussion? Are you going to call for the question?
I like the idea.
Say call for the question.
Call for the question.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed?
Ah, fine. I'm fine with it.
We'll put a jar.
You know what? We can put it at the annual meeting and let people know that it's available and throw a few bucks in. Why not?
Okay. Betsy had her community announcements earlier. Anybody else have any other announcements or events that are coming up? Yeah, okay. We have, that'd be great.
Is this comment time?
It is.
We can certainly approve for when we can have a table at the annual meeting.
We used this new logo, and I kind of want to get your blessing on it.
Yeah,
oh.
You have a microphone in the camera.
Oh, that's nice. We just wanted to get your blessing on this new logo.
You got to hold it up to your mouth.
Oh, hello.
Yay.
That would look to your couple eyes there. What we were thinking on the back of that, though, was to put a prospector from Clip Art or something instead of two logos. Oh, my God, yeah.
Maybe we can take a picture of one of our guys going out and back here. And
But anyhow, that's it. And then maybe on the new license plate, we could use a prospector instead of like what we had.
No, don't use prospector.
Yeah, God, we'll get this. Anyhow, that's all we wanted to say. We could get these, one or 100, the same price. We don't have to order 200 and sit there and go back and forth.
Oh, that's great.
Anyhow, that's it.
Do we make money on that?
Damn right. The other thing on this one, the mug, another thought.
We're passing around for the.
Another thought on the mug would be like if you wanted to do a creation, like maybe a firefighter, we could get the pictures and instead of putting a prospector or the logo on there, we could give a mug. The mug cost $7.
Mm-hmm. That's our actual cost?
Yeah. Now the other, the water bottle of stainless, it costs $10.
Stainless steel.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Just pass them around there,
doesn't it? Okay. That's all.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Where's that mug?
Thanks, Keith.
Steve got it.
Very nice.
Trinkage.
Good job. Okay, sure.
At Walker Day and
the annual meeting. Okay. Betsy had asked about having a table at the annual meeting for any objections. I don't think we need a motion. We just let it happen.
That's fine.
Okay.
Fine.
because the other people. All right, Larry?
Just to get into the 21st century and the discussion about tweeting and web and stuff like that, I think we need to buy Roger a pair of Google Classics.
Direct feed.
Real time.
On the school road, there are no parking, no creek access signs. And that probably has got a lot of gold patterns over there that came out for the weekend.
How long have they been there?
They've been there a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Now, I would be very careful about what is said on the sign. I know it's private property. I know we don't want gold tags, but when it comes to the annual meeting and water day,
right.
If you have no parking signs up along Skyhill Road, it's going to be murder. So I would suggest the guys say no gold panic, private property, and just leave it at that.
All right, thanks, Larry. Myra?
Who is Joyce? You kept talking about Joyce and the
That's Joyce Lothric, just my daughter.
Oh, okay. Our Joyce.
Okay, yeah, my question.
And I got to say a couple of things. One, listen, I'm in the older group than everybody I know is on Facebook. I mean, that is just like by the time you guys decide to go on Facebook, it'll be something new.
Yeah. Crazy.
And this is what everybody does. I mean, the president wouldn't be president today if he didn't know social media.
That's too bad.
So anyway, that's that. And then we've got a problem here, just a little bit of trouble. If the refrigerator can freeze with here so dirty and so filled with we bought, I know somebody cleaned them in the last week or so. But anyway, somebody's going to get sick.
This one's broken.
It's clean, but it's broken.
Well, it freezes stuff.
I mean, somebody might have cleaned it since I've
raised
it. I mean, with all kinds of stuff in there, with the kinds of food stuff that we put in, you know, for the different things, pancake breakfast stuff, somebody's going to get really sick with that. So we need to clean that all out for freezer and freezer.
Or for $600, we need a new refrigerator.
I'm on a repair job.
Who's facilities?
Anybody else?
Who's taking care of facilities?
Yeah.
Russ facility.
Russ? Oh, really?
Well, the last pancake breakfast, we thought about doing this refrigerator, but we had there's so much stuff in it. It's pretty empty now, I think. And we might be able to unplug it and get that crap out of the bottom. It needs to be defrosted just like a regular stove. I don't know who's going to do that. I mean,
don't make them pull that plug.
I mean, when's the last time we actually had these refrigerators looked at as far as a repairman or a...
Yeah, they're working. I mean, except...
Well, obviously they're not working.
Well, the thermostat's not working, but it's freezing.
No, it works, but it's just dirty.
Yeah, they're dirty. Okay.
Facility.
All right. So we need to make arrangements to get some of that cleaned up. All right. Anything else? Any brief? Anything else, Roger? Greg, do you have anything else? John?
Yes, one last thing. Regarding Walker Day, if anybody has donations, products, again, we want to make sure we get them here. And if you know anyone that's moving, something like that, these folks usually have boxes of stuff that they don't want. They're going to donate it somewhere. Have them call me, okay? My number's everywhere. Okay, good idea. All right.
But you already said that.
It's been reinforced. Got nothing.
I have a motion for adjournment.
I'm on it.
Second, Scott. All in favor?
Aye.
Wait for your check because... Six hours.
The team.